Welcome to Dear Aunt Susan, Advice on Being Human. I'm so glad that you were able to join me again today. We talked on the last episode about communication skills. We were working up to toxic relationships and toxic situations. So real quick, I want to go over what we talked about the last time, because we're going to need those skills to move forward into resolving conflict and dealing with those toxic people. So the first thing was to always be curious about other people and always be willing to learn something new. And then we also talked about focusing on the person that you're talking to as though they were the only person in the world at that moment. And also to remember the golden rule, not only to treat people the way that we would want to be treated, but also to treat them in the way that they want to be treated. And also to be an example, to be the change that we want to see, and not to complain about other people's behavior, but to show them exactly what how we want to be treated and how we think people should act. And also, this is really important, is to walk a mile in someone else's moccasins, which just means to think about where they're coming from. What's their perspective? What are their experiences that might be making them behave the way that they are? And also, conversely, to check on our motivations. What's making us behave the way that we're behaving? And the last thing we talked about, besides reflective listening and active listening, which we'll go over again in a moment, to ask yourself these questions when you're not quite sure of what to do or say. Am I hurting myself? Am I hurting someone else? And am I willing to accept the consequences of what I'm about to do? So those things are really important skills to have on tap when you need to resolve conflict and deal with toxic people, whether it's people at work and toxic situations, whether they be at work or at home with family members. It's important to use those skills, because that's going to give us, that's the moral imperative. That's our taking the high road and making sure that our behavior is exemplary, because that's important when we're dealing with other people, to make sure that we're taking the high road and that we are functioning within our value system. And we're going to talk about that in another episode too. I had somebody ask me about talking about how to find your purpose in life and identifying your value system. So we're going to talk about that on the next episode. But for now, remember we talked about reflective listening. And this is something that's going to be really super important dealing with those toxic people and situations. So reflective listening just means that you're saying things like, it sounds like you feel this way, or I'm hearing that you didn't like what I said, or it seems like this is what you want. You are just reflecting back what other people are doing or saying to make sure that you're understanding correctly what their motivation is. Okay. Then we can move on to resolving that actual conflict. Okay. So the first thing is that you always should be solution oriented, not casting blame. Don't look backwards, look forwards. How do we solve the problem? How can we work together? Let's cooperate, let's compromise, and let's be collaborative and work together. So that's the attitude you need to bring. No matter how toxic somebody is, no matter how toxic the situation is, you're not going to get anywhere unless you are willing to solve problems. And you also want to resolve conflicts and problems at a time when you can both, or all of you, depending on how many are involved, can be calm and reasonable. And when a discussion becomes too heated, postpone it. You can say things like, we're both becoming too angry to be reasonable about this right now. Can we take a 5-minute break? Or can we talk about this tomorrow morning? Or can we talk about this when we get home from work today? No matter when you're postponing it to, make sure you follow through. Okay, you don't want to be just kicking the can down the road and not dealing with the problems at hand. The next thing that I have to tell you is super, super important too, is to watch your tone. The way you say something is going to be the key to how it's perceived. So always start out being gentle and kind, no matter how toxic, no matter how much of a psychic vampire that person is. give them the respect of being just a human being by being kind and gentle to start. And if you're not sure, practice in the mirror. Ask somebody you trust, you know, rehearse what you plan on saying and ask somebody that you trust how it's coming across. Think about how you would want someone to say something to you if you made a mistake and you were hostile or angry with somebody when you really didn't mean to be. And of course, that leads us back to the golden rule, teaching other people, treating other people the way that we would want to be treated, which also teaches them how we want to be treated ourselves. Okay. And also to walk that mile in their moccasins, imagine their viewpoint. Why are they behaving this way? What could their motivation or belief be? We want to have empathy and compassion for other people and what they might have experienced. What is their intention? Do they really mean to be toxic and be a jerk? Or are they just simply reacting to something else that happened in their life that just has nothing to do with you? You know, somebody who's in the throes of a nasty divorce may be very hostile and angry to the people around them. And it's not because it has anything to do with those people around them. They're just venting. And that while being compassionate doesn't excuse their behavior, it helps you stay calm. Just like we were talking earlier about staying calm and reasonable. Sometimes that's really hard to do, isn't it? And I know you're probably, some of you are probably laughing at me, but it is possible to do. And that's one of the ways to do it, is to imagine their viewpoint and imagine what is making them behave the way that they are. If you're not sure, ask. Remember that other people's actions may not have anything to do with you. And of course, we did mention not to cast blame. The only thing that you're going to get is an argument or a defensive posture from somebody else. It's not going to do anything to solve the problem if you say things like, you always do this, or when you constantly criticize me, and let's just talk about what's happening right now and be solution oriented and solve the problem. Another thing is, too, is that we tend to have unrealistic expectations about what other people are going to be doing and what they should be doing. Okay, we can't control other people's behavior. Our expectations of how other people should act isn't going to change the weather on Jupiter. It's not going to make them behave any differently. They are going to behave the way they are going to behave. What we can control is how we respond to it. So make sure that you are functioning from that vantage point of, I have to give them their behavior because they are going to do what they are going to do. However, if they encroach on my well-being, then I'm going to set a limit, okay? And we're going to talk about doing that in just a second. So when you're actually having the conversation about resolving the conflict, make sure that you're using those listening skills and that you are paying attention to that person and what they're saying and what their opinion is. And then reflect it back to them. Use your reflective listening. So you could say things like, it sounds like you feel that you don't have time to wash the dishes. Okay. That is a reflective listening statement. Because say somebody says they're not doing the dishes when it's their turn. That's our example, let's say. And they say, well, I just don't have the time. And you can say, well, it sounds like you feel like you don't have the time to wash the dishes, but I become irritated when you leave them for me because I don't always have time to wash them either. So before you put your position in there, reflect back what you heard them saying. Okay. And that it should be back and forth. One person gives their position, the other person gives their position. And that's just the reasonable way to do it. Sometimes when counselors are doing couples therapy, they actually have an object like a baton or a pillow or something like that. And the person who has the floor holds that object and the other person cannot speak until the first person is done and has handed them the object. So you're handing the talking baton over to the other person. And you could do that if it's, a situation that warrants it, like a relationship or something like that. Each person takes their turn and they need to reflect back what they've heard the other person say, because a lot of times these arguments we have with other people, especially toxic people, we have misunderstood or they have misunderstood. So it's really important to make sure that everybody's clear on what the problem is and what each person's position in that problem is. And then you work on how to solve the problem. Okay. When it's necessary, we're going to set limits. And it can be tough to know when it's time to set limits. Generally, the rule of thumb is setting a limit when somebody else's behavior negatively impacts you and when it's not the kindest thing to let them get away with it. Sometimes every situation is different, and it's very hard to know sometimes when we should be setting the limit. So it's hard to have a benchmark because each situation is different. But what you can do is you can use the power questions, if you remember those, to help you make that judgment. So how important is this situation really? What is something positive and constructive I can do about this? Am I letting another emotion drive me instead of solving the problem? So you can ask these questions. What would the person that I want to be do in this situation? And you can ask those questions to determine whether or not it's time to set a limit. So if you do decide you want to set a limit, okay, before you do, I try to kill them with kindness. Okay. And that works really well with toxic people, because a lot of times those toxic people, they just want a fight. For whatever reason, a lot of times people who have toxic and negative reactions to us, they just simply don't like themselves. Their self-esteem is low. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to put down all the people around them so that they feel better about themselves. And while that's not always the case, most of the time it is. So this is where walking a mile in their moccasins is really important, because if you figure that out, you kill them with kindness. If it's not their intention really to hurt other people, but rather to make themselves feel better. Okay. Kill them with kindness, because if they're just looking for a fight, they're not going to get it from you. Okay. That's where the intention comes in. And another good formula for setting a limit, and this is just outstanding, you want to practice this. It's called the XYZ formula. When you do X, I feel Y, and I'd like Z. So when you don't wash the dishes when it's your turn, it makes me angry because I have to take the time to wash them so that we have dishes for dinner. Okay, there's our example, pulling that out. X, Y, Z. When you do X, I feel Y, and I'd like Z. So you're talking about how their behavior has negatively impacted you and the way you feel. And then you're asking for what you want. This is what I would like to have. And again, remember that tone is everything. So you can take that statement and make it really hyper nasty if it's somebody who's doing something that's dangerous or that you're really upset about. But most of the time, like I said, you start off kind and you start off with respect, and then you can start moving into jerk mode later, okay, if you have to. If somebody continues and will not give it up, you can use the broken record technique, and you can just keep repeating over and over. You start off with your reflective listening statement, and then your XYZ statement, and just keep repeating them over and over again until your message gets across. So here's an example. It sounds like you want me to give you a ride, but I can't right now. And you keep, if somebody is pestering you for a ride and won't let it up, oh, can't you please just drive me to? No, it sounds like you want a ride right now, but I can't do it. Broken record technique over and over and over again. And here's your XYZ statement that you use with the broken record technique. If they won't back off, you can say, when you keep pestering me for a ride, I get really angry. Could you please stop now? So when you do this, I feel this, and here's what I'd like. Okay. And it's important, especially in very toxic situations and environments like toxic workplaces or toxic family environments, set boundaries, okay? And also offer up consequences for violating those boundaries and make sure you follow through. Okay, that's important because if people feel like your boundaries are not real, they're going to run right over you. So boundary statements sound like this. I'm uncomfortable talking about my personal life at work. Can we keep that topic off the table? Okay. Or I don't like it when you dig around on my desk when I'm not here. Would you please wait for me before entering my office? And then what you would do is you would set consequences. If you continue to ask personal questions, I'll have to sit with someone else at lunch. Or you could say, if you keep coming into my office when I'm not here, I'm going to have to lock the door. So you're setting consequences for their bad behavior if they cross the boundary. Okay. And again, remember that being collaborative and solution oriented is very important. The other thing that you can do is you can ask them for a solution. So you could say something like, the dishes really need to be done and both of us have busy schedules. What do you think is a good way to make that happen? So what you're doing is you're focusing on the solution, not on the fact that they didn't do the dishes, okay? And you're being solution oriented, but you're also being collaborative. Come on, let's compromise. Let's work together to make this happen. Because the goal is to get the dishes done, isn't it? Okay. And the goal is to get the dishes done so that you have time to do your chores and not do theirs too. Okay. So the idea is if somebody else comes up with the solution, they are much more likely to stick to it. All right. Very important. How can we work together to get this done is a really good statement that you can throw out there, question that you can throw out there when you're trying to be solution oriented, okay? Sometimes there are going to be situations where there is no middle ground that can be reached. And that is especially true in situations where you're discussing politics or you're discussing religion or things like that. Differences of opinion. Sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. And there is no compromise that can be reached, but there is no reason that you can't agree to disagree. And if the other person won't, just say, hey, you know, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Let's talk about something else. Okay. Now, when it comes to toxicity, toxic people, toxic environments, okay, there are going to be people who are toxic no matter what you do. There are going to be situations that you have no control over or that you can't fix, okay? And what we have to do is to try to keep those people and those situations at arm's length whenever possible. Now, when it comes to a job situation, if your work environment is that toxic, you have to ask yourself, what is something positive and constructive that I can do about this? And if there is nothing, it may be time to work, to look for another job, to work somewhere else. There are times when friends need to be kept at arm's length. You know, if they become psychic vampires, you can say, look, you know, I really understand that you're upset about whatever that might be, and I'm here to support you, but I really don't want to talk about that all the time. Let's do something else and focus on something else. And if they won't comply and if it's overwhelming, you may have to put them at arm's length for a while. And I know that is very difficult when it comes to toxic family members. You know, we pick our friends, we don't pick our family. So you keep them at arm's length as much as you can. You limit your contact as much as you can. Practice in the mirror with your XYZ statements, with your reflective listening, practice with family members who are going through the same thing as you. Think about ways that you can set boundaries and consequences. Have that ready for those situations where you do have to have contact with that person. Preparation is important. Feeling confident about being able to not necessarily dodge or avoid their barbs, but to have a shield to deflect them. It's important, okay? And remember that we all want the same thing. We all want to feel good. And other people may simply have different ways to go about it. And if they do cross over the line, set limits, set boundaries, and issue consequences. And try to kill with kindness first before you go to the extreme. If you think about some conflicts you've had recently, you can apply these concepts to that conflict and see how things might have come out differently if you had used an XYZ statement, or if you had set a boundary or a limit, if you had issued consequences. Think about times when you might have resolved conflict a little more calmly by taking turns talking and deciding who was going to get to say what, and using reflective listening. So these are all skills that can be used across the board. And I did promise you some tips on dealing with criticism. So we're going to talk about that real quick. Reflective listening. So it sounds like you didn't like the blouse I wore, or it seems like you really think that I don't do a good job with this. That reflective listening is really great, because sometimes a criticism might be true. You want to make sure what it is the person is really saying to you, because sometimes there are hidden messages, and using reflective listening brings those messages out into the open. If a criticism is true, agree with it, do what you can to fix the problem, and move on. Okay. So instead of becoming defensive, you could say your boss criticizes a report that you turned in. And you can say, you know what, you're absolutely right. I didn't put this chart in there, and I guess I should have, right? You're absolutely right. I'll make sure I pay attention the next time. Would you like me to amend the report now? Okay. That's a great way to get past a criticism and defuse other people who might be angry with something that you've done. Okay. So agree and make it right. Okay. You could say something like, it sounds like you're upset that I didn't call to say I'd be late. I'm sorry I worried you. And from now on, I'll call to let you know when I'm going to be late. That would be the best way to deal with that kind of criticism. But sometimes it's not true, and people are just being critical because they're toxic and they're being critical. I think there's one person like that in every single family, right? I've seen plenty in my family too. So what you can do, there's a couple of different ways that you can handle that. You can diffuse it with things like, wow, you've given me something to think about. I had no idea. Okay, so say your mother-in-law says, oh, wow, look at that blouse. That's interesting. Now, what do you think she means by that? You can pull out your reflective listening and say, oh, wow, it sounds like you don't like the blouse I'm wearing. Well, dear, it doesn't really flatter your figure. You know what? I never considered that, mother. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'll think about that. Now, you're not necessarily saying that you agree with her that the blouse doesn't look good on you. You're not necessarily saying that you're never going to wear it again, but you are acknowledging that she has given you feedback on something, and you're shutting her down because maybe she's looking for an argument. Maybe she really doesn't think that that blouse looks good on you, and that she's really just trying to help you, but that's her way. So you don't want to insult her either, because that's just going to make things worse. So by saying something like, wow, I never considered that, or you've given me something to think about, you are validating the fact that she has an opinion. And remember, we can't control other people's behavior. They have the right to their opinion and their behavior, but they don't have the right to inflict things on us. So when there's criticism like that, though, how important is it really to deal with that in the moment? Just blow it off, deflect it. Okay. So you can deflect it like that, or diffuse it, or you could agree with it. You could say something like, you know what? You're absolutely right. This blouse probably doesn't look good on me. I'll remember that. I won't wear it when I'm with you. Wow. There you go. They can't argue with that, can they? Because you've agreed with them. That doesn't mean you're going to do what they say. Okay. If your self-esteem is good enough, just, you know, oh yeah, you know what? You're probably right. You know, I'll consider that in the future. And you can say things, there are other ways of deflecting criticism. And this is really good for nosy people. you not only kind of agree with it, but you thank them for giving it to you. Oh, I know this sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it works. So you have nosy Aunt Rosie, and she's always asking you, when are you going to get married? I haven't seen you on a date. When's the last time that you went out with somebody? Okay. Oh my gosh, here we go with Aunt Rosie. You can say, you know what, Aunt Rosie, that's what I love about you is that you're always worried about my well-being. Thank you. Wow, you didn't answer her question. Excuse me. Same thing applies to your nasty mother-in-law. Wow. Yeah. You know what? That's what I love about you, Mom, is that, you know, you're always looking out for my well-being. You want me to look good. I appreciate that. I'll remember that the next time I look at this blouse. That doesn't mean you're never going to wear the blouse again. That doesn't mean you're going to tell Aunt Rosie every time you go on a date. Now, if somebody continues, because you know those nosy people, those nosy Aunt Rosies, they don't give up on it. You can use the broken record technique for a while. You can say, yeah, you know what, Aunt Rosie, that's what I love about you is that you care about me so much. Let's talk about your cat, or let's talk about something else. And you keep saying that over and over again. Sometimes pulling out the XYZ formula in a situation like that is overkill. It's better to kill them with kindness. And this is one of those situations where you're going to have to ask yourself, you know, what's something positive, constructive I can do about this? How important is this really? Because you don't want to hurt Aunt Rosie's feelings by saying, when you constantly ask me about when I'm going on a date, it makes me angry. Please stop. Okay. Well, she doesn't, what's her intention? See, here you go. Walking that mile in the moccasins. Yeah, she may be the family gossip and she might just want information that she can pass on to her sister. But she may really care about you and your well-being and she just doesn't know how to say it. So give her the benefit of the doubt. Kill her with kindness. Be kind. You know, I know sometimes that's hard when you have, especially when it's the nosy coworker. Oh my gosh. You know, it's like, you know what? You're a good friend. Let's talk about something else. And just broken record over and over again. And again, don't be defensive, because that's just going to justify their behavior. They're going to say, did you see how she got all upset about this? And start the gossip train. So let it go. Have the self-esteem to deflect or to agree. And it doesn't really matter what other people think, does it? Because just like you don't have control over their behavior, they don't have control over yours either. So you can have whatever opinions that you want. You can wear whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, as long as you're not hurting yourself, hurting someone else, and that you're willing to accept the consequences of whatever it is that you do. So hopefully you have enjoyed this little mini series on communication, toxicity, and conflict resolution. If you did, and you would like to learn more about how you can apply these principles to what's going on in your life, go to www.thequietzonecoaching.com and you can go to my contact page. You'll get access to my calendar so that you can schedule a free essential life skills assessment. And we'll sit down and we'll see what's going on in your life. This doesn't cost you a dime. I'll tell you the top three things that are holding you back and the number one strategy that you can use to move forward and create the life you want. So until next time, namaste. Have a wonderful, awesome, amazing day.